You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Greetings and salutations. My name is Mike Ufferman. I'm on the staff of Zion's Hope as one of the Bible teachers, and I'm continuing my series that we've been touching on regarding the book of Malachi, and now we're going to be jumping into the book of Jude, and you'll see why as we talk about the twins of a different covenant, if that makes any sense, and I think it will once we get done working our way through these passages. But let me back up just a little bit in the way of a review, and just to let you kind of catch up with me, if you can say that. You're probably well ahead of me by now, but one of the things that we talked about in the last sessions that we had regarding Malachi, first of all, we know that God created all things. He knows how to create all things. He knows how to write a Bible. That makes sense as well. And we know that he did it very efficiently and effectively over a number of years with a multitude of writers. And there's no way it could have fallen together by accident. And so this just shows us God's purpose and power. And we know that God knows if he can write a Bible, if he can create all things, that he can also put the books of the Bible in the particular order that he wants them in, because everything that God does, he does with purpose and power, even to the point of putting chapters and books of the Bible in their particular order. Now, we touched on the book of Malachi, and we talked about the messages that you've heard from Malachi. We talked about the two primary ones, one of them being tithing, to bring your tithes into the storehouse, and the other one being the God hates divorce. And there's about four chapters in that book of Malachi, and yet those are the only two messages we get out of it. That didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, especially since Malachi was God's last communication with the people of Israel for 400 years. After the book of Malachi, especially with the way it's laid out in Scripture, you see 400 silent years before you see the birth of Jesus. And so Malachi was the last book that we have in Scripture in terms of the order before Christ's first coming or God's first coming. So that would make sense to me that it would have to be more significant than just the message on tithing and the message on divorce. And so, again, because God works with purpose and power. So when we look in Malachi, we'll jump into Malachi chapter 3, and we'll see that basically there's a warning here. And we see in Malachi 3, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." And so we're talking about John the Baptist, who would be that messenger. And we know that Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ eventually, at around the age of 30, begins his ministry. And that's where John the Baptist is out in the forefront ahead of him. And that passage goes on in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, and it says here, "But who may abide in the day of his coming?" Again, Malachi being the last communication before Christ, which is 400 years later, Malachi being laying out the warning that John the Baptist, doesn't name him by name, but there's a messenger that's going to come before God's appearance here on earth. And again, 400 years were going to pass. Little did the people of Israel know at that time. But then the question is, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And so what exactly did Christ find when he came? In other words, we've got this warning in the book of Malachi, the last message from God to the people of Israel before those 400 silent years. And then when Christ finally shows up, or when God finally shows up in person, what does he find? And so we look in Matthew 23, and we see that Jesus speaks to the multitude and to his disciples, and he says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." So this part of this message is pointing out the scribes and the Pharisees to those people, the multitude and the disciples that are there with Jesus. And so he's using them as an example. And he says, "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works." So again, Malachi was addressing the priesthood of that day, of the days of Malachi. And so the warning was given there, who will be able to stand when I come? And so now Christ is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders who should have known who Christ was when he appeared because of the things that he was doing, the miracles he was performing, the things that he was saying, the prophecy that he was fulfilling. They should have recognized him for who he was as the Messiah. And yet he's warning them now, Christ is warning them now after these 400 years. He's saying, don't do the works that they do. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That doesn't sound like a very good priesthood to me. And it says in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. So their purpose is not to act on behalf of God. These are the priests. These are the priests that are supposed to be working between the people and God. They're supposed to be facing God on behalf of the people. And yet the reason that they're doing it is to be turned around, to be seen of men, not to be seen of God. And so their purpose is not to worship God, not to sacrifice to God, not to lead the people toward God. Instead, their purpose as these priests, as these scribes, is to be seen of men. And then it says in Matthew 23 and verse 13, as we move on down, it says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And so again, these are the religious leaders, these are the scribes, these are the Pharisees. They were warned in the book of Malachi with 400 years in between. And so with those 400 years in between, they would have had plenty of time to contemplate the scriptures. And yet here, these Pharisees, these scribes, are the very ones that are keeping people out of the kingdom of God, as well as they themselves will not go into the kingdom of God. Matthew 23 goes on, starting in verse 14, and it talks about, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, the same in verse 15. In verse 16, it says, woe to you, ye blind guides. In verse 17, ye fools and blind, same in verse 19, verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, again in verse 24, again in verse 25, again in verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, again in verse 27, again calling them hypocrites. In verse 28, within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Quite damning words. Against those who are supposed to be the religious leaders of the people of Israel. And Christ at his first coming, which they were warned about in the book of Malachi, what will he find? And you'll know who he is because there will be one, we know John the Baptist, who's going to be his forerunner. And then finally in Matthew 23 and verse 33, it says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? It's quite serious what's being said there to them. In verse 37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, which would be the temple structure. The presence of God is not there. Christ, who could have come and could have filled it, was not even recognized, even though his forerunner had come. His forerunner was killed. And behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say to you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then we know that Matthew 24 goes on next, and this is where Jesus is leaving that temple structure. He's going over across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. And there he says unto his disciples, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left here, one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so what did Christ find when he came? He found depravity amongst his priesthood. He found a priesthood that was leading people astray, not leading people toward him. And we know that he had gone and he turned over the tables of the money changers. And so, in essence, the priests of Israel have let God down, and the priests of Israel have also let God's people down. And so that's the last book, the book of Malachi, before Christ's first coming. And I asked myself the question, is there the same kind of a book that we would see in Scripture that would be right before Christ's second coming? Well, Christ's second coming clearly is the book of Revelation. It's the main text that lays out everything that's going to happen, that scene in heaven, the scene on earth, what's going to happen, the reaping, and all of the things that are going to happen, the Battle of Armageddon. That's the, we're going to see the trumpet judgments. We're going to see the bowl judgments. Those are all led up to by the seals. And so the book of Revelation is clearly the book about the second coming, just the same as Matthew was the book about Christ's first coming. And of course, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all about that. And so the question then would be, is there such a book before the book of Revelation? So we go into the Bible and we look at the book right before the book of Revelation, and what do we find? We find the book of Jude. And so as we look at the book of Jude, we see that it starts out in Jude verse 1, and it says, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. So the question is, who is this Jude? In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, but other of the apostles saw I none. This is Paul who's speaking, and Paul is saying that he didn't see any of the apostles except for James, the Lord's brother. Now, that's not Jude, that's James. But when we look back in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, we also see a passage that ties this all together. And the question was, is this not the carpenter's son? And so we would know that the carpenter is Joseph, and the son would be Jesus. And we know that Mary had other children as well. And so here now the question is this not the carpenter's son, speaking about Joseph? And then it lays out family line here as well. Is not his mother called Mary? So clearly we're talking about Joseph and Mary of the Bible. These are going to be the parents, the earthly parents. Of course, Mary, the biological father, mother, that is, and Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, because God was the biological father who conceived in the womb of Mary this baby Jesus. But anyhow, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James? This is the same James that was spoken of in Galatians by Paul. James, the brother of Jesus. And so, and his brother James, and another one named Joseph, and another one named Simon, and another brother named Judas, which would be Jude. And so the book of Jude is actually written by the brother of Jesus. And then it says in Jude 1 again, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And so now Jude is writing to those that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. So their sins have been washed away. They've been preserved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are called, certainly according to God's purpose. So to whom is Jude writing? He's writing to believers. He's writing to you and me. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we're preserved in Christ. And if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we've been sanctified by God, and we've also been called. And so Jude is writing to believers, and of course, this is well after Pentecost. This is well after the Spirit of God has now come upon all believers. And so Malachi was written to the priests. God originally intended all of Israel to be priests. We see that in Scripture in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Moses, he goes up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain and saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So again, this is Moses going up to God. Now God speaking to Moses. And then he says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all earth is mine. So if the people of Israel would heed the words of Moses, which were given to him by God, if they would obey God's voice, if they would obey God's covenant, they will be set aside. They will be a special group of people. And verse 6 goes on and it says, again, this nation will be shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The entire nation of Israel was intended to be a kingdom of priests. So they would be kings and they would be priests, if you will, a kingdom of priests. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Israel originally was intended to be a kingdom of priests, each and every one of them to God. But that didn't work out because of the sinful rebellion of the people of Israel. And so God then talks to Moses in Exodus chapter 28, and he changes that. And he says, well, because of their rebellion, take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother. So tribe of Levi, Moses and his family from the tribe of Levi, but now the priesthood would come specifically from the family line of Aaron, the brother of Moses. So take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. So Israel is no longer going to be a kingdom of priests. Now the priesthood is going to come from Moses' brother, Aaron, and his children, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So no longer a kingdom of priests, each and every one of them, but now specifically Aaron and his family line, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So the question then is, who was Jude writing to? Well, Jude's certainly writing after the crucifixion, after the death of Christ, after his burial, and after his resurrection, and after the institution of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. So this is after the day of Pentecost. So the priests in the Old Testament, originally intended to be the nation, then coming from the line of Aaron and his children. After the day of Pentecost, though, we see in the book of Revelation, where it's talking about the different churches, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. In verse 5, that was in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. But then it goes on with this greeting. It says in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that first loved us and then second washed us from our sins in his own blood. So that's in keeping with what we read earlier, that we were going to be in the book of Jude cleansed, okay, that we were going to be these people dedicated to the Lord. And then in verse 6, and it says, in Revelation 1, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So this is what originally Israel was intended to be, but then it was parsed down to Moses' brother Aaron, and the family line there was where the priesthood would be. But now that we have been washed in the blood, now that our faith is in Christ Jesus, it says here that he hath made us kings and priests, just like the nation of Israel was supposed to be, unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so this book of Jude is being written to the kings and priests of God now. So just the same as Malachi, Jude is addressing the priests. In Malachi, he was addressing the priests there, which would have been that family line of Aaron and down. But here in this text, as we've seen, Jude is addressing the priests, the kingdom of priests, the believers. That's you and that's me. So again, we see that these are those that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. So very, very clear that this book of Jude, the last book before the second coming of Christ, the book of Revelation, there is a message here that's intended for you and I, you and me, if we are children of God. And so we've laid the groundwork for who or whom Jude is addressing. And so clearly it's the New Testament believer. It's God's kings and priests in our day today. And then in our next message, we're going to take an in-depth look at the message to those of us who are kings and priests and the exhortation that Jude gives, that God gives through Jude, which sounds a lot like Malachi's warning to the priesthood of old. I'm glad that you could join me here today. Again, my name is Mike Ufferman, and I just pray that the Lord will bless you richly until we meet again in our fourth and final session of this study.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.